big black gun. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Beer Dad and Brew Podcast. As always, I am your host, the Beer Dad himself, Justin Allen, and I am here with my co-host, Brandon. How the hell are you?
I'm good, man. It's good to be back. I missed the last one.
Yeah.
I was bummed out. Yeah. Good Day Brewing Company. Mm. It was a good episode.
Paris, California. Go check those guys out.
For sure. But I think we got to address something right off the bat.
What is it?
It's based on the last episode. I don't think we can call you Beer Dad
anymore. Oh, you're gonna throw me under the bus. We did, in fact, have wine on the Beer Dad and Brewed podcast for the first time ever in four seasons. Shout out to Thin Vine Wines, Escondido, California. Cool dude, John Mattson.
Look,
thanks for joining us.
I love a good wine. I love wine. And I appreciated that you incorporated beer into the show, but it was a lot of wine, man.
I had to. I felt if I didn't have beer on the show, they'd be like, what is happening on this episode?
Yeah, Wine Dad and Brewed? Wine Dad and Fermented? What? I don't know.
There you go. Well, this is the Beer Dad and Brew Podcast, and we are proudly sponsored by the Craft Lounge, Beaumont, California, just north of the 10 freeway, where you can get all your craft beer and bottled beverages in the IE. Go see Jimmy, tell him the Beer Dad and Brew Podcast sent you. He will hook you up. And what else? We're here in San Diego, right?
We're here. Well, we're technically we're in San Diego County, but we're in El Cajon. Shout out. And we're at a beautiful, amazing brewery called Creative Creature.
We are at Creative Creature. And we are joined by some special guests here today. First and foremost, Michael, the head brewer. Hi, Michael. How you doing, bud?
Good. I'm doing good.
All right. Don't worry. We'll shake it out of you, I promise. And we're also joined here by Simba, the Cuvée King.
How's it going,
big
guys?
Big sour fan. And what better place to be a big sour fan than here at Creative Creature in El Cajon, California, because they make some bangers. Been drinking Creative Creature. Proudly carried at the Craft Lounge in Beaumont, California, and started. I actually see something here on the table that was probably the very first Creative Creature I ever tasted, which is a Smackers. Little play on words there with the marketing, but definitely a really good sour. And we're going to have strawberry, I believe, today, right?
A little creative, if you will.
A little creative, right? Yeah. There's some creatures here that are creative, right, Michael?
Yeah, definitely.
So, Michael, we're gonna dive into this beer here shortly. But first, we're gonna ask you a couple questions. So, you're the head brewer here at Creative Creature. What got you into brewing?
For me, I started brewing because I found interest in making my own beer and just kind of making things that I enjoyed.
Right.
And it was a fun hobby to pick up and kind of, you know, put your head into the pot, so to say, and just kind of.
That's right. The mash tun. Yep. There you go. Sure. That's awesome. So how long have you been brewing?
It's been about 4 years at this point.
Okay. Awesome. Talk about a gig, man. This is like, I look at, you know, certain breweries, you can kind of throw some sports references. I'm the Beer Dad, so you guys know I like sports. But this is like when you're a brewer, you're like a free agent, right? And you're looking for that big team to sign with. And, you know, what better, I mean, for someone that has creative talents to find then Creative Creature. I mean, to be a brewer at this brewery that's well known for having some of the most like out there beers and some banger traditional beers. I have to shout out El Cajones, one of my favorites. But I mean, you guys just do such a cool job. So as a brewer, it's probably really cool to, you know, brew here because you can just let your juices flow and just make some crazy stuff, which I'm sure you, Simba, the Cuvée King, can appreciate, especially on the sour market.
100%. I love mixing their drinks together. I mix them with different drinks from different breweries, even try to spark creativity that way.
Yeah. And that's cool too, because then people can follow you, brewers can follow you or know you, right? And use that as inspiration. Be like, you know, I've never thought about that flavor profile by mixing these different fruits together, this different combo. And so that's kind of really, really cool. So.
Sure. I hope to spark.
I feel like what we're looking at right now is like a cuvee special. You know? It's like if you're going to cuvee, that's what you want to go for.
I'm looking at some pretty creative beers here sitting on the table. So that's awesome. So, Michael, what is your, in terms of brewing, what's your favorite style of beer to brew?
I really like to brew like a sour IPA with with like a fruit addition to it.
Yeah.
I really like the way that the hops and the sour play together, especially with like specific fruits. Like I really enjoy a passion fruit to go with my hops.
Nice.
So that's one of the ones that I kind of enjoy the most to consume, which in turn, you know, makes it more fun to brew.
That's great. That's a great choice. Very popular beer. I feel like that kind of is coming into that next trend as well. Sour IPAs, and I love them. I've had some really, really good ones because, like you said, it's really cool to balance the, you know, the bitterness of the hops with, you know, certain types of fruits, but not overly sweeten it, you know, using more of like a passion fruit that has more of a sour bite versus a sweet bite to it.
We actually great combo. Have a nice... guava strawberry one here. It's a hazy IPA. It's phenomenal. It's got the pink color and it's got the taste and the hops that you want. It's really awesome.
That's awesome. Yeah, doing a great job here. And so that's a great beer, and I'm glad that you like brewing it, because you can always tell, like, when you go to a brewery, you obviously, I already know you're a good brewer because I've drank Creative Creature for a while now, so I don't have to worry about that. But you know when you try that one beer that they're super passionate about, and you're just like, oh my god, this is a banger. Right?
You can tell.
And it doesn't mean that you don't make any less good beers on any other genre, but there's always that one beer that you really are passionate, like, you know, we'll talk about Vinny at Russian River, Pliny the Elder. Everybody loves that damn beer, but that's his baby, right? That and Blind Pig. Right? And so that's awesome. So can't wait to get into some of this stuff. So
it's going to be my first Creative Creature. Like, I've never sampled your beers before, but I've heard the legends.
Oh, you're going to enjoy it.
Oh, I don't doubt it.
You're going to be talking about it all the time. And I've been wanting to get down here, like, for a long time. Just things, you know, have happened, and, you know, the last couple of years with the podcast, and it finally just worked out. And here we are. So I'm stoked to be here. I'm sad you guys had a fire recently.
Recovered pretty well.
It's quick.
Very fast. Sure.
Yeah, there's the pizza spot next door. Their brick oven kind of
went off.
Lit on fire.
And, oh my gosh!
took one of our walls down, but we did pretty good.
Adapt and overcome, right?
Yeah.
That's like, well, you got to do that every day when you're brewing, right? Exactly. Sometimes you go to brew, and at the last second, you realize, I don't have that grain. And then you're like, okay, that's when your mad scientist cap starts working. And you're like, well, what if I took this grain and this grain to simulate this grain? Like, you figure it out, right? You're a mad scientist. So
got to make it happen.
Yeah, that's right. Absolutely. Well, let's dig into this first beer.
Yeah, so the first one we got is the Strawberry Smackers. It's our sour ghost base with strawberry puree.
Okay.
So it's pretty straightforward.
Wow. That smells amazing.
It's nice and heavy.
Wow.
Real nice thickness to it.
You know what's crazy for me, just on the aroma of this, I feel like I just opened a jar of jelly.
It smells just like Smackers jam.
Smell pretty. Oh, wow. That is
cool. That's good shit right there.
Jar of jam.
Nailed it, Michael. Nailed it.
Thank you.
Wow. That is...
It's hard to put down.
It's like drinking a jar of freaking Smackers. We won't say the real name, right? We don't need no C's and D's, right? But wow, if you like strawberry, holy crap! Let me tell you, that's probably one of the most extreme strawberry flavored beers you're ever gonna have. Good job on that.
Thank you. Definitely.
It's like taking a little spoonful out of the strawberry jelly jar, but like with like a little boozy twist to it, you know?
A little adulting.
That's right.
Very nostalgic for me, I'm not going to lie to you.
Pretty sure the wife would just be all over that one. She loves strawberry.
How did
mine went a little nuts for it, too. I've had to drive to a few stores because we ran out here so fast.
I'll bet.
It went quick.
It went very fast.
How did you guys get into this style? Like, has this always been Creative Creatures kind of vibe? Like, going for, like, the sours, the gojas? Like, that's kind of what you guys are known for?
So when I started brewing here, they had already kind of had a little bit of the sour line going. And when I came in, I kind of had some experience, like, with the sour culture going on a little bit. And kind of knew, like, what direction I wanted to take our beers for, you know, for that specific niche. So it's been a lot of fun kind of experimenting with some old recipes, but also like turning them into my own and kind of bringing some new light on, in, you know, into some beers that have been around for a little while.
He's definitely, I was drinking Creative Creature before Michael got here, and I will say his creative twist to a lot of our OG beers that have been here on the regular has been phenomenal. His creativity that he's brought into a lot of these sours has made him tremendous.
Yeah. I mean, what we were talking about earlier, and you told me, and you were right.
Dramatic
from difference. From the first, you know, first batch from like when it first came out to here, night and day.
Literally.
And the other one was good. But this right here, I mean, when you have a label like that, you literally said, this is what this beer is going to taste like.
And it better taste
like
it.
And it tastes like it. You know what I mean? Like,
on the head.
Yeah. You just, boom. I literally just went, like, I just unscrewed a bottle.
It smells a jar just of like it.
That's a jelly.
That's an interesting thing that you brought up, Justin. Like, when you see the can, you have an expectation. And the nostalgia factor symbol that you brought up, it's like, okay, a very specific thing in mind that's going to taste like. Yeah, I mean, it's
perfect. For me, that's a lot of the fun is, like, we set that expectation and then getting to meet it and, you know, like, working in the direction to make sure that it is, you know, that nostalgic when you do drink it, just to
absolutely
bring it all together.
For sure.
God, man, good job.
Yeah, you definitely did it.
That's stupid good. I'm going to make Anthony try that.
Yeah, like you said, though, when you see that can, your brain just goes ahead and goes, oh, I need it to taste like Smackers. I see what I see. I need it to taste just like it.
For sure. And I feel like it's also the kind of thing that gets someone who doesn't necessarily like sours or this style, they might see that and be like, oh, my gosh, that's so cool that they, you know, like either the nostalgia factor or like the, like, ooh, that's interesting factor. It might make them say, oh, I'm going to order that, or I'm going to, you know, purchase a can or a four-pack of that and maybe help kind of, like, get them into that style, you know?
Agreed.
Like, now, here's something, and this is free. This isn't going to cost you anything. Free because free I would advice. Love to see this happen. But if you did this beer and you threw some freaking peanut butter in there.
What's funny? You brought that up. That's funny. So you brought that
going
up.
For it.
We actually have a raspberry version with peanut butter. It's like the label's already done.
It's
coming
it's
soon.
Coming soon.
Oh, it's like we're going to have to come back.
No, right?
Justin.
Shit.
100%.
That is, because I'm thinking, you know, the peanut butter and jelly thing has been done. Probably the best. We talked about them. Baba Brew House made an amazing one.
They're really good at their peanut butter.
Yeah. And so that's one of those things where sometimes I feel like with brewers, when they do, you know, any kind of peanut butter adjuncts, either it's too much or too little, not the right amount, but it's like Cuvée King, right? You know what I'm talking about.
It's 100% a hit or miss.
It's a balance. It's a science to get that perfect, like, and there's different tastes, right? When I make a peanut butter and jelly sandwich, maybe I use more peanut butter than you. You know, you never know.
That's true.
I'm one of the guys that when I was a kid, it was mostly jelly, a little peanut butter, but now as an adult, as a dad, when I make my sandwich, it's all peanut butter. Very slight amount of the jelly.
That's interesting. What does that say about you if you go more jelly versus peanut butter?
Something to be said.
There's definitely
that. There's got to be a Freudian analysis out there somewhere. There's got to be.
100 people have eaten one of those and did some studies.
Like, that's how you find out if someone's evil or not. Like, how much peanut butter do you put on it?
Too much. But it's an age thing, too, like you said. You know, like you kind of, the younger you are, you go for the jelly, but the older you get, you're like, all right, I got to get my peanut butter in there. I got to get my protein in there.
Oh, wow.
That was good stuff. Man. Yeah, that was dumb. Like, stupid dumb.
It really was. Dramatic difference, like you said, night and day. You know, his creativity that he brings to these beers that, like, I've had this 4 or 5 times in Creative Creatures history, if you will. Best one I've ever had is from this man right here.
There you go, Michael.
You guys,
out of the words of Simba. Best. I love it.
Thank you.
So for those folks that can't see right now, Michael is going to be rinsing some glasses so we can move on to our next dude here. Got a dump bucket. We'll have Anthony come over here and assist.
Love it.
Yeah.
Assistant Anthony.
Anthony, our lovely assistant.
Anthony's the man.
It's very aesthetic. Went together nicely.
So we'll be a little honest here. Anthony's not really my assistant. He's a good friend of mine, but I was just joking and giving him a hard time. But he's here visiting from Sacramento. And I was like, I'm going to do a podcast. Do you want to go? And he's like, fuck yeah, I do. So he's just an extra hand. Unpaid. <Yeah.
laughs> Need a few of those around.
That's right.
But he's a man who appreciates a good beer. So
he does.
He's in a place he can appreciate.
He's a big IPA guy.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, he'll definitely like our 1784. Sorry. Okay. He'll definitely like that one.
It's the address of our brewery in San Marcos. Oh my
God. There you go. Oh. The numerics there.
I'm glad you brought that up because I wanted to ask you guys. So what has that location opened yet or that's still kind of in the works?
So it's not open to the public. We do have the plumbing and the lighting and pretty much everything taken care of. So it's definitely coming soon. So keep your eyes peeled.
Cool. So location number two for Creative Creature coming in San Marcos.
Stoked. Your dad's stoked because it's closer to the house. Riverside County is a little bit of a drive. However, I do have family that lives in San Marcos. So, hey, dad, coming for a visit. Really going to go to Creative Creature, but I'll stop by.
It's that twofer.
That's right. That's right. Yeah, twofer. Man, I don't know how you're going to top that. That's tough.
I think
that's really tough. We'll let Michael decide on what we do next here.
Gosh, they all look so good, man. I'm excited.
This one that he grabbed is something special.
Simba's got a look on his face like we're about to take an experience right now.
It's a journey.
So what do we got, Michael?
So this is our beachy hard seltzer. You know, nice for kicking back in the sand. Lemon lime, coconut, blue spirulina.
Wow. For the color, coconut. Get that natural color in there.
Uh-huh.
You'll see what I mean when you see this bright blue. It's very vibrant. Definitely get a picture of this pour right here. Very, very vibrant.
There we go. Wow, look at that.
Dang. Like he said, refreshing. Something you want to drink on the beaches of San Diego or wherever you can find your beach.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, we got beaches in Riverside. Lake Paris is nice this time. Not really.
It's got that like juice box color almost, like your childhood juice
again,
box.
Again, with the nostalgic red on the head, you know? Like if you can come up with something nostalgic that, you know, fits for us and we drank or ate it as we were younger, we're going to love it as an adult.
Yeah. You know what's really cool about, you know, using spirulina that I've talked about on the show before? A lot of breweries will like to use fake coloring, right? But use spirulina. Hey,
natural.
Man, now I can say, honey, this is healthy. This is spirulina. It's algae. They sell it at the health food store. So it's healthy. It's good, right?
We've made the change.
That's right. Cheers.
Cheers, guys.
All right, let's do it.
Oh, my God.
Wow.
And you can't even really tell it's a seltzer. That's what I was telling him earlier. It's fantastic.
Wow. All right. Here's my spiel on seltzers. You guys ready? Because I did this on the Good Day Brew episode.
I'm ready.
Shout out to Miguel, owner of Good Day, because he pulled out a seltzer that I like. Disclaimer, Beer Dad, not a seltzer guy. That's probably why my name is the Beer Dad.
I'm with you on that one.
Seltzers for me have always been like drinking hand sanitizer.
Yep.
Truly, right? White claws, all those horrible things that these young college kids are pumping into their systems.
Some malt poison.
Right? and I know the seltzer craze kind of came back, and a lot of breweries that would say, I'm never brewing a seltzer are brewing seltzers. And you could tell there's not a lot of passion behind it. For you to make a seltzer that does not taste like a seltzer and is still refreshing like a seltzer should be, you've pulled it off. So amazing job on this. This is, you said juice box and it just took me back. I'm going to have my brother taste this one because he'll remember it tastes just like them damn squeeze it things that we used to drink when we were little kids.
Sure, yeah.
Yep. The Kool-Aid little twist top.
That's what I was going to say, or bring you back to that Kool-Aid blue, throw it in there, change some color.
Man, and that just that coconut.
All right, I'm going to watch my brother taste
comes
this.
Through.
Tell me that doesn't taste like a squeeze it.
Yeah. For everyone who couldn't hear it, he said, oh, wow, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So, by the way, the Beer Brother's in the house doing some photography. I happen to be in his hood down here, so it's nice to see my brother. Don't get to see him very often. It
takes
it
back. For sure.
It does. It's my instant nostalgia. I thought of him and I when we were younger. You know,
That's awesome.
I was like a staple in the refrigerator.
Some core memories just got released.
That's right. And there's another core memory here we'll talk about later that I'm seeing on the table that him and I have a...
I already know you're talking about.
Yeah. A big investment in her childhood. So actually two of them, if
right?
I'll be honest.
Star Wars too.
Yeah.
For sure. I mean, there's a lot of kind of like 90s nostalgia on the table.
I feel like I wore the right outfit today. Yeah. I didn't know we were going so 90s with it, but yeah. I felt the vibe.
Simba's rocking the full Rugrats drift.
With the Nickelodeon pants on. I love it.
To the songs even.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, and Hey Arnold in there. Oh, so it's like the full Nickelodeon drift.
Yeah. God, my goodness. Dude, I feel underdressed. I've got my official Beer Dad and Brew podcast East Coast Hazy versus West Coast IPA shirt on,
which is rad for everyone out there.
Yeah. Available now on our website for everybody that wants one. But let's talk about Michael's drip. Look at this dude.
Oh, yeah. Michael's a well-dressed man.
I could not pull that off, but man, you look great, brother.
Thank you. You look great.
Yeah.
I appreciate that.
His creativity is on his outside and inside. 100%.
Well, I mean, we're only two beers in. You can totally tell. I mean, I literally just drank a jar of jelly, and now I'm drinking my childhood. So. Yeah. That's pretty damn good.
Going back to what you're saying, though, Justin, like, I'm not a seltzer fan either, but, you know, every once in a while you go to a place like Creative Creature, and you can get, it's not just a seltzer. You know, the seltzer is, like, just as good as the beer. But at the same time, I feel like almost all breweries feel that obligation to have seltzer on tap. I mean, I'm sure I don't know, you guys can speak to it, but
I've been to a lot of breweries and I've noticed within the last year every brewery has a seltzer on tap now.
Yeah, like
it drastically changed in the past year.
You got to. I mean, well, we talked about
Kings
earlier. They started the Seltzy line. You know, it's one of those things where, like, you know, back in the day, I'm sure Jeremiah's like, I'm not making seltzers.
Oh, guaranteed. Right. I think I actually remember him talking about not ever doing a seltzer.
Yeah. Right. But we talked about it. And he does a great job. I mean, he's already good with doing heavily fruited anything, so he pulled it off. But this right here, man, this is stupid.
Yeah, this is not your
definitely one of the best seltzers in the game, if you will.
So this one's called Surf Roots Seltzer. Now, is this something that people are going to see? Because I know you guys are out kind of distributed elsewhere. Like we have you at the Craft Lounge. But is this something that they're going to see out in the public, or is this a taproom only pickup? Or how does that work on the Surf Roots?
So the Surf Roots got distributed a little bit.
Okay.
It was actually a collab that we did with Surf Roots TV.
Okay.
So they're like a reggae TV kind of streaming site that...
Oh, man, if this was at the Cali Vibes Festival... Oh,
yeah.
Yes, well, you probably wouldn't have made enough.
But we do plan on making more and, you know, making it more available.
Okay. It's definitely coming back.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to tell you right now, listeners of the show, because a lot of our listeners are into, like, fruited sours and stuff like that, you know. It's something that we got really big into a couple years ago. Brought it to Cali. I feel like, I mean, there wasn't a whole lot other than Kings, and the next thing you know, everyone's making them, and I'm like, where from?
It's really an East Coast thing that
brought it, and they would ship them to us, and we would talk about them and share them with people, and next thing you know, here we are. That's cool. People are gonna want this, so check it out, Surf Root Seltzer,
for sure. Even if you're not a seltzer fan, like, you got to try it.
It doesn't even taste like a seltzer. It's crazy.
No.
That's what I told them earlier. I was like, congrats on this one, man. I'm not a seltzer fan like you guys are saying. I really don't like them. I don't like that watery mineral taste at the end of it. It's weird. Like, I'm drinking sparkling water.
Now that I drink, I took that last sip there. Now that I drink it, I'm getting a... almost like a tropical cocktail vibe going on here.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? Cocktail for sure. I was thinking
that. So, you know, like one of those blue curacao drinks that, you know, you get like on island.
Oh, yeah.
I'm getting that vibe from that right now because I got more, I think, a lot of coconut in that last shot. And yeah, that's good.
You can smell that. Yeah. Coconut's there.
Kind of want to drink it with like a bendy straw, like one of the little
umbrellas.
Maraschino cherry.
I'll throw some sand down. I'll throw some sand down for you guys.
That's right. Absolutely.
Oh, wow. Yeah, that was good stuff.
Yeah, it was definitely... All right. Definitely awesome. Color alone, too.
So we're 2 for 2. I mean, we're talking about sports here. Michael, he's batting 2 for 2, doing good. Got a 1,000 average batting average here.
For sure. Hey, Justin, as we're preparing for the next beer, I'm curious, what beers from Creative Creature had you had, like, prior to being here tonight?
Oh, man.
That you recall? I know you've had a lot. But.
Yeah, you know, I've told you one of my favorite OGs is El Cajones.
Oh, right.
For two reasons. One, I love a good Mexican lager. It's, you know, dark. It's not, you know, not like a light lager. So it has a little bit more bite to it. Some of that kind of chocolate notes and stuff like that. A little coffee flavor to it. But still light and easy drinking. And has that nice little hint of lime to it. And that's what I loved about it. But the marketing, they do so great at that here.
The labels.
We had freaking the nuts that hang from the truck. But they were hops. I mean, that's just dope. Actually,
that's Vigilante.
Is it? Vigilante, yeah, the artist. That's right.
The artist.
Yeah. It's really cool. And I'm really sad because I had, so my mural, right, my beer fridge, I had a few of those on it, and then that beer fridge died, went to the graveyard. So I don't have that sticker anymore, so I think I need to re-up on that sticker.
I've had one of those happen. It definitely hits in a certain
space. Oh, it hurts. I mean, I had so much stuff from Urban South, HTX, and Baba.
Old school
and
labels.
Spanish Marie and all the places. And I'm just like, all that work and stuff that we've done over the years is just down the drain. I took a picture so that way I can say, here it is. This is what I had.
Right. It's solidified in there.
Yeah. And now I got a new beer fridge, so we're starting over.
And it's another journey.
Yeah, I almost told my wife, I was like, man, I should just keep it and just, like, keep it in the backyard, cover it with a tarp. And then one day, like, when I have, like, the huge, like, beer garage, just have all the retired fridges with all the labels. Because, I mean, it was plastered, the whole thing, head to toe, plastered in beer labels.
Oh, that's rad.
Yeah.
I want to get that beer fridge.
Almost worth fixing. Like,
yeah.
Right?
There's that beer fridge that's Han Solo frozen in carbonite.
Oh, I've seen it on IG. That's actually rad.
Yeah, it's a good beer fridge.
I have the mini version of that.
Do you? Okay.
Yeah. It came
super
with
dope.
1 year for Christmas, Xbox.
I know what you're talking
Battlefield.
About. Yes.
It came with Battlefield 2. It was like the Walmart special edition package, and it came with the mini fridge.
It was a little promotion they were doing.
Can't really put a whole lot of beer in there because it does like a six-pack
of
12-ounce
cans. Isn't it 6 or 8?
Yeah. But it's cool because you can plug it in your car.
It's got the
plug in there.
Convenient next to the console, too, if you will.
Yeah.
I can get about a four-pack in there, 16-ouncers.
Have to refill often, though. But it's okay. It's worth
a couple
worth
of road beers.
It looks cool.
It looks cool. Now, if you like that, Jay Wakefield in Miami, they have a table in their tap room that is the Han Solo and Carbonite.
Oh, nice.
So it's got a glass top, and you look inside, and it's all lit up, and there's Han Solo sitting there.
They always have some good Star Wars collabs over at Jay Wakefield.
Oh,
well, they've had some great ones.
The whole brewery's all, it's Star Wars and Marvel.
Wakefest.
All the murals and
Wakefest.
Everything.
Wakefest. Yeah. 007, Marvel, Star Wars, just everything nostalgic. Yeah.
It's a dope brewery. Those guys are cool. We saw them last April when we went to Irie Jungle.
Tripping Animals.
Tripping Animals.
Oh, yeah.
So, all right.
I bet you that was fun.
Speaking of Star Wars.
It'd be right up your guys' alley, let me tell you.
I was just going to say, Michael picked the next Star Wars related beer.
Something on the
this
table.
This actually came with two.
Yeah, so this is our, it's our Thai tea mixed four pack. So we did a Thai iced tea with oat milk. And we also did one that's kind of like more of a limeade style. So you have this sweeter, creamy, and then a tangier.
Reminds me of an Arnold Palmer, if you will, with like a chai tea.
Exactly.
It's like a instead of that sweet, it was just chai tea in there. Yeah.
And
rad.
By the way, a chai tea. I heard this. So we had a guest speaker at our we're at a conference here in San Diego, and we had a guest speaker. He's an author and a TED Talk guy and all this, and where's he from? So South Asian descent, right? And so he was explaining that he thinks it's funny that we call things chai tea because in like his culture, chai is tea. So we're literally calling it
tea. Americans.
And so he's like, yeah, you guys are all that. You call it nam bread. Nam means bread. So you're calling it bread. Yeah, it's so
funny. We do
funny.
It with multiple things, actually. That's funny. Yeah, we do with a lot of things.
Yeah, as soon as you said chai tea, that just brought that up. So carry on here with
that was a great fun fact.
Yeah.
Yeah, so this is the one we're trying today is the creamier one.
Okay.
With oat milk. And we put it on nitro just to kind of add okay. to the creamy.
That tea, that chai tea creaminess really hits in this one.
Yeah. Now, I know this is something that my brother Andrew, I think, recently picked up. He really loves the teas here. It was so shout out to that.
His teas that he's been doing the last few months have been phenomenal. I mean,
look at that.
Absolute
color.
Tea flavor, color. The black tea. He dropped a black tea a little while back that was fantastic.
Yeah.
What was that one called, Michael?
That one is the hard AF tea.
The hard as fuck tea.
There you go.
Our Mr. Tea
spoon. Woo!
I have to say something. Creative creature.
Wow. Yeah, because I'm getting that chai.
Immediately. Oh,
yeah. Well, I can smell it from here, but there are not a lot of breweries, and when I say not a lot, like literally like less than five that do something like this.
For sure.
So it's a testament to your owners here that give you the creative juices to do
ability,
all kinds of stuff. And I applaud you for doing something like this because I really love, I don't want to use the word alternative beers, but I love stuff like this because what you're doing here is you're bringing more people into craft beer because there's people that are, I don't like craft beer. I'm a kombucha and hard tea drinker.
Okay, you just cool. brought them in.
Here, this is what we got.
Yep.
And they try it, and they love it, and then they're like, oh, you know what? Let me try this seltzer.
Exactly.
Try this sour. And it just brings them in. And so kudos for doing something like this because, like I said, I love it. It's not traditional. I'm a beer guy, but I can still appreciate the uniqueness, and I love the fact that it brings more people into the brewery. And really I haven't does. Tried it yet. I might this might knock my socks
just off the
you never
smell.
Know. Oh, that's right. Here we go. We'll go in.
Cheers.
Definitely get that chai on there.
It's yeah. It's got such great smell.
Oh, it does. Oh, wow. That is very holiday-ish.
You could definitely tell by the taste, the teas there.
If you are a chai fan, you will definitely love this. That's really bitching. That's crazy.
We got a nice guest showed up behind us here.
Uh-oh.
There's the big man himself.
There he is. Here, sir. Taste that.
Yeah, wow. You can really, like you said about the kombucha and stuff, people at the liquor store that I work at now and again, they really, you can get somebody, I've gave them the lemonades and the teas from Creative Creature, if you will, and they've immediately stopped buying kombucha and they buy Creative Creature at my store now.
Wow.
Yeah, so it really can convert somebody to a beer, like you said, that's stuck in a more of a world where I don't drink beer. Because it doesn't taste like a beer, but we got to call
this
it something.
This is so unique.
We got to call it something.
Yeah, that's
it's like bringing, like you said, craft beer is finally changing, if you will. It's been the same thing. I respect some good hops, some creativity in that world, but this is changing to actual craft beer, in my opinion. We've had the same thing for hundreds of years. This is finally different.
For sure.
And I also love the can art here because obviously Star Wars big near and dear to the Beer Dad's heart. My brother and I, we grew up watching Star Wars and something else we're going to talk about here in a little bit. But also the fact that it's a crossover with, The Last Supper. I think that's freaking just dope. I mean, I'm sitting here looking at, we got, is this Mandalorian or Boba Fett that I'm
They have
at?
The other can that actually completes the label. Okay. So if you put this one and the other one, they complete the label together.
There you go. Okay.
Very creative.
Yeah, this is just dope. I mean, any guy my age, girl my age that's into nostalgia. I mean, I just turned 40, so Star Wars is obviously right up my alley. So I hate to be the guy that would just run into a store and say, there's the can art and buy it based on the can art. But because it's Star Wars, I would just buy it. I don't
100%.
Care if it tastes like shit. But the good thing is this is not. This is great. This is good beer.
It tastes great, and you can save your label.
That's right.
Yeah, for sure.
Plaster that
like
fridge
we're talking
while
about.
It still works.
Keep your fridge while it's got it.
That's it's right. Like what we were talking about earlier. Like it's like that can art that kind of either makes you feel nostalgic or it's like, whoa, that's really cool and makes you want to try the beer. And then you try it and you're like, whoa, that's really good and kind of gets you more and more.
It's kind of a double-edged sword because the can art it sets that expectation. And if you don't meet it, then you're not coming back.
Yeah.
And that's one thing that we've definitely had to make sure of is like if you're going to put some, if you're going to do something, you got to do it right. And make sure that it comes out you know, with that nostalgic factor. If
that's absolutely.
That's such an interesting point, man. Like you brought up about this one. I never really considered that, you know? Like, that's
gotta hit
so
a point.
True, though.
Yeah. I mean, like you said, like, it's this Smackers right here. Like, somebody's going to buy this because they're like, hey, that looks cool. It looks like, you know, the jar. Yeah,
looks just like
And then they're going to pour it and drink it and be like, oh,
yeah. It tastes like it, too? Yeah. Where's this from?
Yeah, I'm going to go back to El Cajon, and I'm going to buy some more of this. Yes.
You buy it once for the art. You buy it again.
We came for the art, but we stayed for the beer.
That's right. Exactly. That's right.
Is this beer that we're drinking now, is this something like if you come into the brewery, is this something that you can currently pick up? I know you're saying it's part of a mix pack, right?
Like, we do still have some available. Once those cases are gone,
for now.
Yeah,
okay.
It might be a little while till we make it again, but we'll definitely keep some stuff like this around.
Yeah, like I said, I think it's bitching that you're doing that as you know, kind of a line of beer, because I can't count, not even on one hand, how many breweries that are doing hard teas. Hard kombucha, that's different, totally different animal, but this is, you know, it's so unique.
Yeah, man, that's.
I can't tell you the last time I've had one other than Creative Creature. So, and I mean, I obviously get around, right? I mean, I try a lot of different beers, but.
It's very good news.
Yeah, good stuff, man. Great job, Michael.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Amazing job.
All right. Amazing. Yes.
Fantastic.
Wow. That's just crazy. Like, it really, like, it hits all your taste buds.
Yeah.
I'm like, there's so much going on with that. That's just like.
I feel healthy.
I do.
I feel healthy right now. I feel
Again,
healthy.
you just gave me a beer that I can tell the wife, listen, I know you want me to cut back on beer, but I'm
drinking tea healthy. Right now.
I got spirulina in this seltzer, and then right here, this is tea.
We're going tea.
It's not tea. It's not tea. It's chai tea. Chai. So you're getting double the tea.
We're getting double the tea.
Double the health benefits.
Tea and herbs. It's a whole thing.
Right.
You can smell the herbs right off the bat. It smells like a fresh tea.
Yeah, that's, man.
It's fantastic.
It's crazy. You picked a good lineup here. Like, you're just like, all right, we are a creative creature, and we're going to show you our creative juices right here. That's what you're. That's what we're doing here. Because I know, like I said, I know you guys can do the traditional stuff.
Yeah.
Not a problem. El Cajones is good. IPAs are good here.
They definitely are.
I mean, I can tell you I don't think I've ever had a bad beer. I loved your Oktoberfest beer, by the way, too. That was good stuff.
Thank you.
Nice.
Yeah. I mean, after the three we've had, I'd be shocked if somebody said, oh, there was a bad beer here. I don't think it could exist.
Well, I mean, I can tell you right now, whenever I have, you know, in a lot of the beer groups that I'm in or just from the show, I get listeners that'll hit the DMs and they'll say, hey, I'm coming to San Diego. Where should I go? Right? Because a lot of people will tell them, well, you're going to San Diego. You got to go to Stone Brewing and Ballast Point. And
stuff
and
that's like, already been sold. And the family don't even own the business anymore.
Right, no.
It's a commercial business.
So, I usually throw out my stuff, right? Creative Creature's always in that top five in San Diego. Always.
Appreciate that one.
Yeah, if you don't believe me, listen to all my episodes. you'll see it or go look at my posts. I've always talked about Creative Creature. I always tag my brother every time something comes out. You know, it's one of the greats. You know, when it comes down to San Diego, like Creature of Habit, right? No pun intended, right? But
literally.
Creative Creature is one of my go-tos. Seek Beer, which is new out here.
He's pretty new.
Dave from Urban South.
Yep. Good people.
Really, really awesome. He does some good fruited sours down there too. But I mean, I like the little guys for a good reason, right? Sure, Ballast Point, they've done their stuff. They've made good beer. It's what brought people into this industry. But I like the little guy because I like to support small business. Big on that.
Agreed.
But this, you're never going to find creative juices flowing like this at Ballast Point.
Never.
No,
never.
For sure.
And they've done their R&D years, right? We know Jimmy at Noble L Works. He was an R&D brewer for Ballast Point at one point.
Of course. Shout out, Jimmy.
But this kind of stuff, it's like this. Once it got up that corporate chain, someone would shut it down.
Immediately.
They're like, no, like, I can't make profit off of that. Are you crazy? I'm not pumping 20,000 pounds of strawberries into my fermenter. Are you nuts?
Right?
But, yeah.
I've had multiple reps say the same thing that come in to the liquor store from Ballast Point, Stone. I'll let them try a Creative Creature, some stuff. They're like, this was amazing. Where's this from? Like an alcohol.
Yeah, right.
And they're like, well, I'm going to tell the guy at Ballast Point. never hear anything again. He comes back, they told me no.
That's right, yeah. As like I said, it's too hard to do on such a corporate level. I mean, this is where, and that's why I love my show, because I get to sample and try different beers, you know, all over the country, and we do. And
support the local.
Support the local, the little guy, you know, independent craft breweries, you know. Not to say I don't like to drink beers from some of the bigger companies. I just feel like this, the uniqueness and the handcrafted sweat that goes into it, you know, and then also coming from the brewing side, like, you know, knowing, like, when you brew a beer, you're passionate about it, right? On the corporate side, I'm brewing
for money,
you know, hundreds of thousands of barrels of beer that I don't care about, because I'm just getting, you know, $80
you're
an hour
your pay.
To come in, clock doing in, it. Go and leave, you know? Whereas this is like,
he cares about what's in that, what's in that vat.
That's right.
For sure.
I mean, these are cans of Michael's hard work. I mean, hell, I saw a can with Michael on it over there.
That's his vegan Michelada, man. It's really, really terrific. Wow.
I might have to try that. I know they were giving you a hard time about how you didn't want to be on the can over there, but
we got to get laughing. The brewer on a can. Every brewer's on a can. We got to get you on a can.
Sure,
it fits. It works. I like it.
Michael, where do you look to for inspiration on like a new beer? If I don't know, just how do you come up with ideas for stuff?
So a lot of it is like nostalgia. So like, you know, the couple that we have in front of us, we're definitely just trying to meet that, you know, like that mark of something nostalgic that somebody would break into and just have that experience. And then, you know, I kind of just keep my ear to the ground in the world. Like if you're in a store and you see like a flavor combination that kind of piques your interest, you know. They're always coming out with weird sodas and like fun combinations of things. So that's always fun to like pull inspiration from. And then I enjoy flavors in general. So like I'll make a smoothie at home and be like, oh, that was excellent. Like let me, you know.
Brew it.
Trying to recreate that with some alcohol.
That's right.
Okay, I see. Okay, I see how that the smoothie parlays into the beer for sure.
Yeah, I can't lie. I definitely give them a lot of beers.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Simba kind of.
I definitely give them stuff to try. Okay. Every time I see him, I try to give him something like, "Hey, try this. How are they doing this?
Right.
How are they doing this?" And he's got some amazing taste buds. I mean, you can give this man a beer, and he's always like, "Oh, I think I know what hops are, and I know what grain they use." Yeah. I mean, he's really good. Wow. He's really good.
And I spent some time at White Labs too. Nice. Like I have a little bit of a yeast background. So okay. I'm always like our El Cajones, for example.
Did you use Kvike yeast on that? I was curious.
No, it's actually brewed with a Czech lager yeast instead of a Mexican lager yeast. Leaves it a little bit more fruity and a little bit
probably to color too.
Because I know I learned from Josh, my original co-host, from when he taught me to brew, when he would make his Mexican lager, he started using Kvike yeast because it would simulate some of that lime flavor.
Yeah, and dry it out a little bit extra, which can go a long
extra
way.
Dry.
Well, he was from the desert, so with high temperatures, it was much easier to use that type of yeast strain. So
up in the high 70s for a lager still, which makes
definitely factor in where you're brewing helps. Yeah,
absolutely. That's awesome, man. Wow, man, I'm still tripping out on all everything that we've had so far, how like unique and crazy it's been. But I mean, it's fitting for the name of the brewery, right? Creative Creature. So
exactly what I said earlier.
Yeah,
sure.
A lot of creativity.
There's
here.
lots of creativity, a lot of creative juices flowing here. So
we got one more.
Yeah, let's do it. I'm excited for this. There'll probably be some edited in music going on right about now. This beer actually has been on the Beard Dad and Brewed podcast before. I believe, let's see, I'm trying to remember the episode. We were at the Craft Lounge and what did we do? Oh, it was a, I did a double brewery episode. So it was Creative Creature and B52 Brewing. And we had the Ecto on there.
Ooh, okay.
Yeah. So super stoked for that. Yeah, so this beer, and I've had drank several because when Jimmy got it in, I obviously picked up a couple 4-packs because the nostalgia factor. I'm like, I don't care what it tastes like. Just give me it. You know,
take my money.
It was still awesome. I mean, I took some pictures, put them up on the IG. I think I did a picture with Winston Zeddemore in my Ecto-1 and, you know, just clean. Dope, you know what I mean?
Appreciate that.
But, yeah, this is really, really cool. My brother and I, we grew up, obviously, we both in our 40s now, and Ghostbusters was huge for us. We had all the toys. We had all the accessories.
The Slimer?
Yeah, we had
with the tongue action.
We had the proton pack. Remember the little pink guy? You would squeeze him and his giant eyeball would pop out. Yeah, we had all that stuff, and we were huge in the movies, and it was great that they brought out the new one just recently. And
yeah, I'm excited to see it. I still haven't seen it.
You haven't seen it?
Yeah,
I haven't seen it. So here, I'll put it in perspective for you. I took my oldest daughter, she's a teenager, to see it because she everything that dad likes, she kind of gets into.
That's how my daughters are.
So we go to see the movie, and it's at the end, and I won't spoil it, so I won't tell you what happened. But I will tell you, she said, "Dad, are you crying?"
No, that nostalgia hit. Something hit. Yeah, I'm definitely excited to see it.
Yeah, you have to see it. It's really good. And they're actually making another one.
I love Paul Rudd too. Yeah,
he was great in it too. Man.
Paul Rudd in anything just makes me happy.
Yeah, I like Paul Rudd too. He's great. So, so what are we pouring here, Michael? Let's let them know.
All right. So this is our Hecto Cooler. Orange tangerine imperial sour.
Nice.
So we kind of got that high C kind of thing going on.
Yep.
We recently just switched to a local orange.
Okay.
Provider. So
okay.
I think that really
it changed it.
Yeah,
it really did.
What
we're gonna find out.
Brought us out here.
I'm excited for all of
there's Paul Rudd right there. We were just speaking perfect timing. And we did not plan that.
No, there was a customer hanging out, and he had a Paul Rudd shirt, a beautiful Paul Rudd shirt, I might add.
That's awesome. Yes.
It's beyond clean.
Shout out Paul Rudd.
Shout out Paul Rudd all day. Maybe we can get him on here.
I can't wait.
He loves talking, man.
Yeah. Oh, I can't wait. Wow. Look back.
Tell me the color isn't different this year.
Oh, my God.
So his, I will say, since he's been here, his creativity, not only on the flavors of fruit profiles, but the colors. He's brought the colors up on every single one of the OG beers that we've had over the years.
This right here is definitely got that ectoplasm, you know.
You can already smell the oranges. See, that's what I like about his beers. The aroma instantly hits your nose, and we haven't even picked the cups up. Yeah. Just like the chai.
It's like orange juice. Yeah.
It smells like the straight fresh peels. Like you're making yourself some fresh OJ in the morning.
I saw Anthony creep over here. He's like, what is that?
He could smell the citrus.
Yeah, smell it.
Yeah. Wow.
All right.
Cheers, guys.
Yeah. Cheers.
Cheers, guys.
I ain't afraid of no beer. All right? Throw that one out there. Gotta have some dad jokes thrown in here.
That was too clean.
Let's see. I think I actually put that on Instagram the other day. I don't know.
So you said that this was aged?
So this is... it's a sour base.
Imperial sour. Imperial. Okay. I
thought Anthony wants to try that.
Yeah, my bad.
Imperial stout. I mean, imperial sour, sorry.
Wow.
But the citrus it melds perfectly together. And your brain drinking something green like this, I feel instant nostalgia. We're drinking Ecto in a drink.
Wow. And you know what's crazy? Because you said you kind of changed the oranges on it. Me being the nostalgia kid, I can remember the Ecto Cooler from Hi-C, and this is a lot closer to it.
A lot closer.
Yeah.
This version is probably the best version that Creative Creature has ever put out.
Yeah.
So, when we made it before, the orange we used was real pulpy.
Yes.
So it'd lean you more towards, straight orange juice. The orange that we used this time... I filtered the pulp out, so we didn't have that that chunkiness. It's a little smoother,
right?
And then I went a little heavier on the tangerine.
I was gonna say I can really taste that tangerine on the tongue at the end.
Yeah.
And then there's a little bit of yuzu just to
that lime. That's a good lime. I'm not gonna lie. You could put that lime in anything, and I'll accept it.
Yeah. Yuzu. You're a fan of yuzu over there.
That's probably what that smell yuzu. Is too.
And the yuzu really made it. Go from regular orange juice lend it towards that Sunny D high C.
It really is. It definitely made the change. I like it a lot.
Yeah, that's great stuff,
Michael. Great job, man. Wow.
Justin, what? There's a brewery in Miami that you guys went to. You know what I'm talking about?
Spanish Marie?
No. Yeah, the Spanish Marie did Ecto Cooler with King's Brewing. They actually did two collabs with each other.
It's a brewery they brewed with Yuzu.
Prison Pals.
Oh yeah,
was it Prison Pals?
Yeah.
Okay. No, it was like Japanese name.
Oh, Shoujo.
Shoujo.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, Prison Pals use Yuzu as well, but yeah, you're right. Shoujo. Okay. Shoujo. They had the Yuzu, and I just had some Yuzu lager from Bottle Logic not too long ago.
They just dropped the Kaiju on it.
Yeah.
The Kaiju was on the cover of that one.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was actually pretty different.
This is great, man. All
this
of them
is the
so
best.
Unique. This is, yeah, I can see you saved it for the last. You're like, I already know this guy. He looks old, so I know he likes Ghostbusters. So we're gonna save that for the last one, and we're just gonna hit him.
We're hitting
him
in the feels. Nostalgic note. We're
gonna hit him in the feels, right?
We're hitting you.
Nostalgia is everybody's soft spot. So you gotta get him in there and take it.
Uh oh.
Wow.
We're going. Another one on the table.
It made a loud clink.
Yeah, we thought we were done. There's someone special over here. We're gonna get him on a microphone here too, after he has a little liquid refreshments over there. Yeah, there is a mic over here.
Yep, we did it.
Let me unmute that bad boy real quick.
Just got snapped.
So. We are now joined by the owner of Creative Creature. What's up, brother?
How's it going? Thanks for having me.
Yeah, appreciate you allowing us into your home. And I've always talked about your beers on the show. I've had it on the show, because Jimmy at the Craft Lounge carries them, and I've just always loved it. And I'm just happy to be here, like in person. This is great.
Oh man, we're humbled. If you can't tell, we're a small group.
Yeah,
like we've known this guy forever. This guy has been friends with him forever. We're a real small group.
Yeah.
Small core. It's a really tight knit beer community. So we appreciate that because, I mean, how many breweries are out here? You guys
a lot
trying anybody a else's lot. Stuff. Yeah. So it means a lot.
A lot. Yeah. I was just telling him, I don't know if you heard me, but whenever people ask me for recommendations for San Diego, Creative Creature is always in my like top four, top five. And there's what? 200 in San Diego County.
Easily.
Like,
yeah.
You know, yeah. it's always my honorable mention. I mean, and you know, no bullshit. You can listen to our episodes. You can, you know, look at all my postings. Like I'm always talking about you guys. So
it's in my top five now. It's my first time here. It's my first time trying your guys' beer.
Well, first
and
off,
you got great taste.
Sweater color choice.
Oh, yeah,
we're
exactly.
On
that's right.
No, it means a lot. Honestly, we started here at a one barrel. Most people know. So
yeah.
we started really, really small. We want to jump from a one barrel to three barrel, 15 barrel now.
Now we're to not, San Marcos.
Yeah, now
we're to San Marcos.
Bigger, larger brewing facility. With growing bigger, obviously, is there's more headaches.
Right.
But at the same time, it's been very rewarding to see how the beer community has responded to what we do.
Yeah.
We just keep trying to push the envelope of what's different. You know?
Yeah.
We don't want to be like anybody else. So.
Absolutely. And you're not.
That. It's a great goal to strive for.
Definitely not.
Definitely not like anybody else. I mean, everything. I mean, just the vibe here when you're in the tap room, and I'm sure you guys are going to kill it on the new tap room as well. You already know you're walking into something that's special, like different than any other brewery tap room that you walk into. And in everything that we've had here, you know, I was telling the guys is like, you literally pick up a can and you're like, I just drank out of a jar of jam. Like this is
right.
Stupid. And then, you know, stuff like, you know, like Michael here that made tea and seltzer. That's just ridiculous. Something that you're probably not going to find anywhere else. And I mean, that's just cool. And your name, Creative Creature, like that just says a lot right there.
I appreciate that. I mean, yeah, when we came up with the name, obviously Creative Creature, it's almost literally the same word. First five letters are the same.
Yeah.
It was like a yin yang type deal. So we try to get both sides of it. Even our logo, it's a gas mask and light bulb morphed together. You know, they're two totally different concepts.
Yeah.
The theory was, you know, everybody's different. So let's try to take your ideas, take my ideas, and let's make something in the middle.
That's a perfect idea of creativity.
Wrap it all together.
Sure. I mean, everything that we've had here is just, I mean, off the wall. And I told the guys, too, I'm like, we can talk about the crazy creative stuff that you do, but even just your, you know, regular beer, your core beer is amazing. Like El Cajon is one of my favorite Mexican lagers, you know, so you guys can nail that, too. And that's what I always tell people when you go to a brewery. And you just get like a standard, you know, like a Mexican lager, a lager, or whatever, or an IPA. And if it tastes good, you're probably dealing with a good brewer. But when you can make something like this that tastes good, you're dealing with a very talented brewer, because, you know, on the brewing side, it's easy. I can throw barrels of fruit into the fermenter with, you know, my base, right? But to have that perfect combination where it actually tastes good and it's not just fruit and beer. This is a science.
He's definitely a scientist more than a brewer.
I can tell you and be 100% upfront and honest, the first time I had this beer right here, which I believe was my very first Creative Creature beer when Jimmy started carrying them, to what it is now, night and day difference. Night and day. And that right there is going to knock people's socks off.
I told him before the interview, it's a dramatic difference. And I was like, just wait till you try it. And immediate night and day. I mean, that's in itself.
Yeah. I mean, as beer has grown and evolved, I mean, not to sound cocky or anything, I feel like we were sort of some of the first people doing heavy fruited beer, especially in this area.
You were.
100% in San Diego in general.
What we've noticed is as they evolve, we have to evolve because people expect more.
Right.
Yep. You know, we can't just throw fruit in and call it a sour anymore. Nope. You know, it's even like, say, the hard seltzer. It can't be like anybody else. It's got to be different. If not, what's the point?
Yeah, there's too many people doing a seltzer. Why not? Well, I don't want to do the same thing. I want to beat you.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, it definitely is. I mean, we were talking earlier. You know, you and I have been to so many different breweries. I'm sure you guys have too. Oh, yeah. And everyone feels obligated to put that seltzer on tap. But what you guys are doing here with Surf Roots and I don't know, maybe other seltzers you have on tap is just so different.
Thank you.
What anyone else is doing, and yeah, man,
definitely really unlike good. Any
it
seltzer.
It makes me want to order a seltzer. No.
I told him I wouldn't do. It brought me back to my childhood drinking like a Squeeze It. And then afterwards, after I let it sit for a bit and then I drank it again, I was like, man, I'm getting like one of those like blue Curacao freaking tropical like drinks out by the beach. Like, that's stupid.
Well, first off, you just named our next beer, man. Squeeze It?
Yeah.
Oh, we got to pull that one off. That's a great one there.
And it's in Kool-Aid related. We're going. Right?
Do grape flavor, please.
Oh. He's been asking for grape for a while. We've tried grape. The problem with the quality of real fruit.
Yes.
Is very hard to get. I mean, the reason why we haven't made red raspberry smackers in, what, 2 years?
Because of raspberry.
Yeah. We can't find good enough quality.
The raspberry fell off.
So, yeah, everything, if it's not quality enough, we just don't put it in there.
Totally
they are the fruit guys, if
totally
you will.
Did it.
Yeah. What do you look for in quality fruit?
Honestly,
specifically for brewing.
Non-artificial flavored.
Okay.
Real.
Yeah, as weird as it sounds, you can tell the difference from quality after once you've seen it.
Oh, I've seen it. I've told breweries that have now. I could tell the difference in the past year. I brought it up to Jeremiah at King's, a couple of people, and they've said, I'm like, what's the deal with the taste difference? And they're like, oh, the fruit's not available.
Yeah.
And you could tell they're using syrups and concentrates, and it's not the same. There's no seeds. Before you would see seeds and pulp, but you're not seeing it no more.
Yeah, it was like drinking Jamba Juice.
Exactly. Yeah, I don't want a syrup like that. You know what I mean? They're definitely, they stick to the fruit. Yeah. Everything I have, you'll see that residue of fruit and pulp, coconut and everything.
Like our raspberry right now, like I opened a box of it and went to use it, and it's practically see-through. It looks like raspberry syrup.
Oh, wow.
And it's supposed to be raspberry puree. Like last year I opened a box and it's got seeds, you can't see through it. So the quality of fruit has definitely shifted, and as more people are using fruit and, you know, the fruit companies are scrambling to make it work, we'll definitely see that. But you know, that's why we pivot and we do what we need to, and if it's not, you know, the quality that we want to put out, we're not going to.
They won't
put
push
it out,
unlike other brewers who will still pump it out because that's a core series and we got to see that smackers.
Yeah.
They will hold off until the fruit's there. This actually held off for a while. I haven't seen a smacker for a long time.
I
strawberry,
very
especially.
Long time. That one
they
was
held
two
out.
And a half years.
I was just going to say the same thing. Strawberry. I haven't seen it for about 2 years.
Yeah.
Like I said, I've been drinking Creative Creature for 5-6+ years. I've been definitely journeying over here.
Yeah. I mean, about. Let's see. I don't know if I can say five. Let's see. When did Jimmy open? We're talking. He's having his 4 years. So 4 years. four-year anniversary is coming up March 11th for our
You've been around for the OG beers.
Yeah.
Well, let's say a big congratulations to Jimmy, because Jimmy's a great guy.
So. Yeah, absolutely.
Craft Lounge, congratulations.
Definitely a shout-out.
Yeah. March 11th, for those that don't know, he's having a big special event there for his anniversary. He did a collab with Pure Project.
Oh, nice.
And so they got that release coming at the actual anniversary party. And
what kind of beer are they dropping for the release?
I believe it's they like to call it a murky, but it's a murky double IPA. Wow. Either double strong. Or triple. Yeah, something good.
Nice.
So, yeah.
Did you know you can't actually use the word murky? So, Pure actually owns that.
Really? Yeah. They got the trademark on
that. Yeah, own the trademark on murky.
Good for them.
Smart.
I like that.
Yeah,
damn.
Once you learn the politics behind the brewing industry, there's a lot of things you can and can't use.
That's right. Damn. Oh, I already know. We were talking before the
show. Like slushy.
Warner Brothers is not a big fan of the Beard Addict Brew podcast.
That one pretty quick.
Right. Yeah, I got. We got our first cease and desist.
That's awesome. Congratulations.
That means you're doing something right.
That means you're doing something right. You know, the fact that they actually did that, that means you're doing something right. That means somebody.
They didn't, and it's really
sad. You're a threat, if you will.
It's really sad because literally it's a tradition of ours. Every Christmas episode, we have Christmas beers or Christmas themed beers, and we watch Christmas Vacation in the background, and then we bring the audio in for the listeners every so often, right? And so this year happened to have it videoed, and he had it videoed via Skype because we were apart for Christmas, and go to post it on YouTube. It's on YouTube for like a day and then it gets shut down. And then they said, you've been copyrighted this and that. And then I get this thing from Warner Brothers. I'm like, I got an email from Warner Brothers.
Yes.
Wow. From the legal team. I'm like, this is great.
I feel like if it's past 30 years, man, that shirt should be
most
free
of their rights
on,
are up
Clark
to be
Griswold.
Honest if you look into it most of their rights are up. They just send that to scare people off.
Some of them aren't
a lot of their licenses,
like a big one we were talking about earlier, me and my buddy, is Mickey Mouse in 2025.
They keep pushing it back. Everyone's gonna go on that one. Everyone's gonna
Mickey
jump
Mouse
on that
and
beer.
We gotta find out what really happened to Walt Disney.
Right. Exactly.
Well, it was supposed to be like last year or 2 years ago.
They said
like
2023 was supposed to come
back,
out.
Right?
Yeah.
25 is allegedly
the new date.
Yeah. Thank you, Anthony. Right. Appreciate
we'll
it.
We'll see. They might find a way to kick it to 2028.
It's crazy
or
how many copyright licenses in the next couple of years are coming out of their contract, if you will. There's a lot of stuff that we grew up with nostalgia wise that we're going to be able to put on some beers.
That's right.
So I got something to ask you guys.
Like, yes.
Go ahead. No, I was going to say, I saw on that note, like Winnie the Pooh, there's like a horror Winnie the Pooh movie.
He took advantage. He used all of his money to make that film, actually, he already made the money back in Mexico alone.
Damn, that's wild. I want to see that movie, man. It looks kind of crazy.
It's going to be a cult classic for sure.
Psycho Winnie the Pooh.
So from our perspective, like, we're always trying to push the boundary, but we always have to go off of what we like.
Right.
Now, from the other side of it, what do you guys see as far as the beer industry? Where do you see it pivoting? Where do you see the next big thing from what you guys?
So we kind of talked about it earlier. Something that Michael said is one of his favorite beers to brew. I feel like the heavily fruited sours, there's still a market for it right now. But definitely, like right now, what I'm seeing is obviously lagers are back, which is great because that's my jam right there, especially dark lagers.
Yeah.
Good stuff. But sour IPAs, I think, are that next. If you can make a good one where there's that perfect blend of fruit where it's not overly sweet, but it just balances the bitterness of the hops. You're going to bring more people into the craft beer industry because they're like, I'm not ever going to drink an IPA. Well, here, try this.
You will
now. This is really mellow. Got some nice mango notes, and I know you guys do it already. I feel like that between that and lagers, and maybe some more like doing more of the traditional brewing, like Czech style and stuff like that, I feel like people are starting to appreciate that more. And I know I do. That's my jam. Like, I know, like if you ever go to GABF, you talk to people, everyone's going to Bierstadt, they're going to Cohesion, like, they go to these places where this is the style of beer that they brew.
So you don't feel that's a novelty thing? Or do you feel it's more of a pivot in the industry?
I feel like it's going to be something that all the breweries are going to have to touch and have on their tap now. Yeah. Whereas before, and I know, and coming someone that knows about the brewing and brews and stuff like that is... It's not easy, right? It takes up tank time. which is money, right? On the owner's front, like you're thinking, like I'm looking at this tank and I'm watching it ferment for, you know, weeks and weeks and weeks, and I'm like, I could be making money and turning stuff in 3 weeks on that thing, you know. But instead, I'm waiting for this lagering process because you want to do it right.
Sour stew.
Yeah, same. And it's but I feel like that's kind of going. If someone's able to get, and I've always said this, and I feel like this might become a trend, maybe not the next trend, but if someone's able to do something like pastry barrel aged stouts in a lighter, easier drinking form, I think that might become a hit.
Absolutely.
I really do. Like not 14%, but somewhere around that 10% range. And obviously it doesn't break the bank for the brewers, but it's easier to drink, but you still get those nice adjuncts. I mean, and it's going to cost money, so it's probably not going to be the most profitable beer that a brewery makes, but it brings people in.
Sure. Definitely. With all the ice creams and all the stuff they're doing with stouts now, I can see that.
Because I'm the type of guy, I love those beers. We have a stout season episode every year. And but my biggest problem is you got this will. I can't drink all that by myself. Right? I don't need the diabetes, right? Like
that's why you got to have them in the 12-ounce.
I know. I see that. I saw the baby will right there. Yeah. That's perfect.
It's hard to, you know, get them barrel-aged big boys down over and over and over.
You know, a brewery that's really successful with their barrel-aged beers. In fact, Anthony got to try some last night. Eagle Park Brewing. In Wisconsin, they do their barrel-aged beers in 12-ounce cans.
Oh, okay. Trippy.
And
it doesn't change the taste at all, being in the can?
You know, obviously, there's the whole can versus bottle argument and everything, but
That's the only reason I asked.
I'm a big proponent of cans. I like cans. They tend to last longer. Like, and if I'm a dummy and I leave this outside and I can, you know, turn the beer a little bit. I don't know. There's the argument that could go both ways with it, but they seem to do a really good job just putting them in 12-ounce cans. And that's what Marcus was doing at Baba Brew House
for a while. I was just going to say the same thing. I've had one over at Baba and someone else. They did the Corporate Ladder. They did their barrel-aged sours this time. The red rum was actually in a can.
Yeah.
It was definitely different. That's why I asked if you felt any difference to it.
Right.
Yeah, what I've noticed is if you get a barrel-aged can, as long as you drink it fresh in terms of right after it's canned. Like you can't age it. You can't sit on it.
And I've sit on sours for a year or so sometimes. So I definitely wouldn't try it with that one.
Yeah, that can we had last night, it was a, I think it was it 13%? Do you remember? It was like 13% and it was like chocolate fudge, maple syrup, and coconut.
Rough.
And it was.
Was the maple light?
It was very subtle.
Okay.
Yeah, we got more toffee notes from it, but it was so drinkable and just so, like, chocolatey. And I was like, man, that's good. I wish the ABV was a little less, but I shared it, even in that 12-ounce can. We did it on, you weren't here, our last episode I did with a wine company. Very first time ever to have wine on my show. But we still snuck in some beers on the show, and one of them was that Eagle Park beer. But it's really good. If you've never had Eagle Park, definitely check them out. They're a good brewery.
I think you guys are actually onto something. I was talking today with Jeremy, the guy who owns 903 Brewing.
Oh, I know Jeremy.
And, he has diverted everything to 12-ounce cans.
Yeah.
He really has. Yeah, everything he's been pumping out. He's doing a lot of malt beverage stuff too, though.
Yeah.
And I think the market personally is willing to pay, as long as it's more price point.
Yeah.
So they don't look at volume than price.
Yeah, because you can get a 4-pack for a few bucks less than a 4-pack.
I was going to say, you get six too. You'll get six of them slim cans. Yeah.
You'll pay more for less volume.
Right.
But you see in less price, lower price, so it makes more sense to you mentally.
Yeah.
You know, people aren't counting the amount of ounces they're getting.
That's right.
They should.
But I agree with you. I see the market,
you know,
shifting.
It's funny for Jeremy at 903. I can remember when 903 just started and they were in the smaller 12-ounce cans, not the slim cans. And people in Texas complained. You need to come out with 16-ounce, right? So then they finally did it in 16-ounce, right? And that put their price point up higher. And they were still successful. And Jeremy's done a great job there at 903, him and his wife. In fact, we had a show with them, but he put them in those slim cans, and they're still doing great with them. And I don't know if it's like you say, like a mind thing, where it's like if it's a small can,
our brain
smaller,
works
but
like that.
Yeah, it's that slim can, and you know, and very similar beers that they make that you guys make, and very creative there.
I think it was genius with the way they diverted in the market. I feel the market is definitely going that way.
Right.
You have to have choices. You have to have options. Yeah. Like we have a blonde that retails for $12 for a 4-pack. It's
great deal.
Yeah, and it's one of those things that people don't really understand. They see us and they expect a high price point. And I try to explain to people we have a full line of stuff that fits every single buyer. The problem is most buyers that associate with us expect something higher, and it's, I think going forward, we're going to see a lot of breweries have to divert to having multiple options. You can't just be a $20 4-pack brewer anymore. It's
definitely not. Yeah, you gotta have some type of,
or a $30
some of them heavily fruited sours, they're doing $31 a pack now, man.
That's crazy.
Wild. Yeah,
it's crazy. I mean, you think about it, for 4 beers
you're spending a lot for those 4 beers. It really is exotic, if you will.
I can appreciate
the beer
that.
Fan in me, I can't do it. It's
hard.
It's a hard pill to swallow. It really is. I mean, you go to buy beer, you know, and you're used to buying like a 12 or an 18 pack for, you know, $14
literally
or whatever.
Dirt cheap.
and then, you know, you start getting into craft beer, and yeah, it's more expensive, but obviously, you know, we respect the talents of the brewers and the creativity and everything that goes into it. But yeah, sometimes you do get sticker shock. I've walked away many times at Bottle Logic from buying a bottle because
their labels are a little bit better than their beer.
I've
noticed. I don't know if they've changed their base lately, but they definitely have switched up the taste on my end. I've noticed a difference.
I mean, they've consistently made great beers. Obviously, they're huge on the barrel age market, but the stouts, I can't justify paying that much, and I will for certain flavors.
Yeah, sure. Depends which one they drop.
I like the peanut butter, right? We already talked about that. So
sometimes it's something so wild, you're like, I got it.
Yeah, right.
Speaking of peanut butter, did you tell him about the PB&J?
Right. He brought that up. He was like, hey, you know what? I'm thinking of this guy with a little bit of peanut butter. And I was like, funny you brought that up. Raspberry and peanut butter is coming up next.
This guy's actually mastered peanut butter, I should
say. I'm excited to see
it. Last time he did, I don't know if you guys tried the mullet milk. I get asked about that probably once a week. What are you guys going to bring back, mullet milk?
Well, if you're good with peanut butter, here's my request. I've asked many breweries, and not one brewery has done it. You could call it a collab, or you can call it your own beer. I don't care. One of my favorite all-time candies is an Abba Zaba bar. If you can make that into a beer, vanilla taffy flavor with peanut butter in a sour, done.
Yeah, if you could do it in a sour, I would. I'm loving it.
And imagine pouring, and you just have a white, like a nice stark white beer like that for the IG that's going to blow up. I mean, and then the can art, you know.
Spanish Marie just dropped a butter beer from Harry Potter that gave me that Abba Zaba vibe, though. I'm not going to lie to you. It gave me that Abba Zaba vibe.
If you can pull that off, man.
The can would be like Dave Chappelle.
You got to do half baked. Might as well do half baked. Cupcake upside down on the can, maybe.
Right. Instead of Abba Zaba, you can call it Abba Dada. You my only friend. And you got the checkered yellow and black can art on there.
Done deal.
We need to get you on the can.
Now. Yeah, collab is done.
Hey, they put me.
You already went down that road, huh?
This guy
used to fight everything. He's like, hey, can you do a social media post? Hey, I'm going to take a picture. He's like, no.
I'm gone.
It's taken a lot.
He's the guy in the meme videos where with the brewers, it's like the, here comes the marketing guy, and then the brewer like takes off hiding, or the other ones are like, oh, shit.
The funny thing is, I don't think we have a single person who works for us that actually enjoys being around the camera, huh?
We're all introverts.
Yeah. I mean, where's he doing this?
He's on the camera.
Okay,
most
we
of
take
time.
It back.
Yeah,
force Mike to do that one.
Mike's more of a forced film.
Mike loves to do his Twitch.
Mike is fine on the camera. The rest of us aren't.
Yeah, he pulls it off. He's kind of the face of Creative Creature. Usually that's
He's our resident juggalo.
There you go. Juggalo. Okay.
Whoop, right, Mike?
I love it. That's awesome. So what did you bring out here? You brought out something else.
This is Ahab's Barrel. It's a barrel age stout that we did, 12%. It was aged in local Liberty Call barrels.
Okay.
I think we have 4 bottles left known to exist. So,
oh, yeah. This beer is before my time.
This beer has been here for 3 years.
This is aged. Old beer. Oh, well, I'll bet you it's going to be amazing, too. Oh, so,
yeah. Let's drink this beer with 619 Deadhead. Preston.
Wow. Yeah, so, let's do it. I don't know. Who's got a knife?
Basically, thank you guys for coming. We made it easy, so check it out. All you got to do is...
Oh, look at that. You put the...
Wow. Only brewery to do this. I'm not going to lie. Every other brewery, you got to pull out a knife and hours.
Man. That's why I said...
We thought about you guys.
Look at that. Look at that. The knife? Only one doing it. I love it.
And I do have... somewhere here. I always have a keychain on me. Urban South HTX sitting in my pocket here. Hold this for me, Brandon.
That's the original one.
Yeah, one before.
That was when Dave was there.
I was going to say, yeah.
What an honor to get to try this one.
Yeah, no, it's horrible. Thank you guys for coming out.
Oh, man, it's our pleasure, man. We're excited. I'll let you
The only thing we're talking about, people changing bases and stuff, it's sad to see when sour companies change their base. I'm not going to lie to you. And they think we don't notice. Yeah. And we definitely notice when you change to a malt beverage or something around those lines.
When you're drinking something for a long time, it's really easy to notice. Yeah.
And a lot of people are kind of doing it on the sly, if you will.
I just need a spot.
It's one thing I like about Creative Creature. Their sours are always going to be a sour. You don't have to worry about them changing up the base on you.
Oh, wow. Gosh. Yeah, we honestly, I mean, I always try to tell people it's just beer. You know, we're just trying to make sure you guys enjoy yourself the way we are enjoying ourselves. Cheers.
Love it. Yeah. Ooh. Cheers to Creative Creature. Yeah. You guys are doing a banging job here in El Cajon.
No kidding.
Soon to be in San Marcos as well. Ooh.
Wow. That is so smooth. Mm.
What do you think, Michael?
Oh, gosh. Whoa. That one's good.
Good stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. Are you guys going to, now that you got all that room up there, going to get a solid barrel age program going?
Yeah, you know, we do, what, we got like eight or 10 barrels right now filled.
Yeah, we got a couple. Yep, yeah, definitely got some things going. Mostly sour base.
Yeah.
Well, I'm excited to see a barrel aged sour.
Yeah. Mm.
Yeah.
I'm beyond excited.
Barrel aged sours are very unique, but man.
They're hard to pump out.
One of the ones that Marcus had for his 5-year collab, it was barrel aged in a rum barrel, and it was like pina colada flavored.
It was fantastic.
Ridiculous.
It was fantastic.
And then, yeah, I knew because my wife's a pina colada girl, and so I was like, she's going to love this. And Mark's like, well, I'll make sure you take some home. And I brought it home, and I think I had a 4-pack of that. And I go out to my beer fridge a couple weeks later. Gone. All 4. All gone. I'm like, man. So the only one I got was what was poured when we did the podcast at the 5-year anniversary. I'm like, dang it. But, yeah. You lose some, right?
Yeah, any kind of Caribbean flavor. I grew up in Hawaii, so for me, any kind of island flavors, any kind of Caribbean flavors, things like that, that's what we gravitate to.
Yeah.
And then we've been trying to pull like flavors from other countries, like you tried the Thai tea. Mm-hmm. We're trying to see what we can do that just we don't see on the market. You know, so what can we do that's completely different?
Being creative with it.
Yeah.
Everyone's stuck in the same rut, you know. If it's not broke, don't fix it.
Wash, repeat, right?
Yeah.
I've got to shout out the Creative Juices. Obviously, Michael is an amazing brewer, and on a marketing standpoint, the Creative Juices, everything. Obviously, you hit all my feels because Ghostbusters, Star Wars, pop culture, nostalgia, El Cajones, which fucking cracks me up. Like, I love the label.
And then let's
not get started on my San Diego Padres, because you got some mango machado, right? You got,
so clean.
Well, technically, they're not associated with the Padres.
Okay. We'll just say San Diego.
We'll just get that clear.
They're based on some San Diegans that are here part-time through the year.
You know, everything's sort of like a satire. It's a parody. Yeah. We like to have fun with what's current and what's nostalgic.
Yeah.
You know, like what we remember. You know, it's a lot of times we'll do something that's completely current in the media, and a lot of times we'll just try to pull something that makes us laugh. You know, we'll, a lot of our beer concepts
talk. Whose idea was the Chuck E. Cheese theme with
the playland?
So, that was actually Justin Faust from Electric and me. We always joked about for years. We've been joking about like doing a pizza company and and all this stuff. And one day we're like, man, pineapple doesn't belong on pizza. And like, you know, we have kids. We should just open like a beer bar for, you know, where you could have a beer bar and your kids could be like Chuck E. Cheese. That's sort of where that ran from. Yeah.
There's a fantastic brewery
that I think pulled that off, kind of. Have you been to the one in San Marcos? My Yard, have you been there?
Oh, yeah, My Yard Live, yeah. Okay. Shaggy.
My Yard.
It's called My Yard Live. Okay. Yeah, it's I didn't know a whole lot about it. I remember reading in the paper when Hometown Buffet got taken over, and they're like, we're turning this into a brewery. I'm like, huh? And then I just remember, like, randomly, like, we were out. I think we went to Bates Nut Farm, and the kids and whatnot were hungry, and we're like, let's go to dinner. And, of course, you know me, I always have ulterior motives. So I'm like, something's got beer. And then I'll be like, hey, this restaurant looks really cool. It's called My Yard Live. I didn't say anything about it being a brewery, but it has a playground for the kids.
Absolutely.
So my wife's like, oh, can you go check it out? So we went and checked it out, and she's like, it's a brewery.
but breweries aren't what they used to be. Back in the day, breweries were, you had a bunch of kegs out, and you'd grab a mat, and you'd sit on a keg. Like when I started going to breweries back in the day, at Home Brew Mart, you weren't even allowed to legally sit at a brewery, and you were limited to the amount of tasters you could get, things like that. So to see them evolve to somewhere where you can bring your children out, and you can enjoy yourself, and your kids can enjoy yourself.
That's a good feeling.
Yeah. And I actually was talking with ABC about it, the Department of Alcohol Beverage Control, the other day. Shout out to those guys. They work so hard.
Yes.
But, they don't even know the precedence of what to set anymore, because breweries are evolving from just somewhere you bought beer to giant establishments where people, they're family friendly, and they have themes to bring you in. It's fun to see that.
I want to come to a brewery that I can bring my daughters. And if I can't bring my kids, I'm not going to go to your brewery. That doesn't seem family friendly at all. I mean, my kids aren't going to have nothing to do with the beer. I'm drinking the beer and I'm enjoying the adulting.
Yeah.
You know, so I like the vibe that when you invite kids here.
And that's why I mentioned, I love the little guys, the small mom and pop breweries, because it's family, right? And most brewers have kids and have families and what are you going to do with them, right? You know, like Marcus with his kids. I mean, they're brewery babies. They grew up in the brewery.
Literally.
And, so it's really cool to see.
His uncle and my brother-in-law are, like, great friends. Yeah. And, like, his niece and my daughter, they go to school. It's the community aspect is what matters to me more than anything else.
Very small world vibe in San Diego, if you will. Everyone somehow knows everybody. It's the Kevin Bacon effect.
I miss it. This is my hometown. I don't live here anymore. My brother's still down here, but because he's stubborn and doesn't want to leave. No matter how expensive it gets, he's like, I'll live in Santee. I don't care.
Santee.
Right? There you go. I grew up here. I grew up in Mira Mesa my whole life and moved up to Riverside County. That's right. Marauders, the Mecca, right? And moved up to Riverside County. I miss it like hell. I love, love the weather. I love the Padres, and I still love the Chargers. It's okay. A lot of people aren't happy about that, but
they're a football team.
I was a Charger fan my whole life. I couldn't walk away. I love San Diego. And shoot, I mean, to be so passionate about craft beer and have San Diego so close, I mean, it is the craft beer mecca. It is the craft beer capital of the world. I mean, God, I lost count last time, because I know some close, some open, but there's hundreds in the county. Yeah. Hundreds.
The ratio is every five that close, eight open.
Yep.
And honestly, if we can secure the sours, and then we have everything on lock. San Diego has probably every beer on lock now. It's us.
That's right. Yeah. I love it. So, well, kudos to everything that you're doing here at Creative Creature. For the listeners, when can they expect the new tap room to open? I know that's one of the big questions a lot of people have been asking.
So we were actually aiming for the beginning of this month. Okay. We keep getting pushed back. Again, that's partly why I was at the Department of ABC the other day.
Right.
Just trying to get things completely finalized. We don't want to just open and allow people in just to get in. We want to make sure all the ducks are in line. And we can knock it out for you guys, because for us the experience is just as important as the beer.
Yeah. Yes. And I'm stoked. Like, I know there's been some like teaser images that you've posted. Like, you got one of the murals that's already been painted.
Oh yeah, they're all the murals are
It's a great vibe. Just the art alone.
I'm stoked to check it out and see it, because I know what you guys are going to come up with is going to be just as creative as all your can art and everything that you've done here at this location. So, San Marcos, be ready.
Yeah, it's this definitely, but five times the size.
Yeah. That's
creative
awesome.
Creature on the rise.
You can go play games. You know, that's the vibe we're trying to go for.
So. Any like beer festivals or anything that you might plan for up there?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Well,
all sorts of stuff.
The next one we're doing is what? We're doing the Kush Fest in Adelanto.
That's going to be fun.
Yeah, wow. So we're doing that one. That one's coming up. North Park Beer Festival. That's the next one.
We do the Joshua Tree Music
Joshua
Festival.
Joshua Tree, yep.
Oh, that's really dope.
That's going to be fun.
It's a weekend festival. We go out and serve beer.
Love Joshua Tree's freaking...
It's out in the middle of nowhere.
Festival out there. I'm going to that.
It's one of those you knows.
Yeah.
No, it's gotten
a little wild in the desert, but...
Right. It's pretty big now. I would say in the next couple of years, it's going to be big as one of the festival events. It will get its name out there.
That's awesome. Well... Everybody look forward to all that. And, of course, you know, we have a festival coming up in June. Yes, Kunkelfest is coming. So, and I know we're going to try to get you guys out there. So, and we do have a 501c, by the way. We're ready to rock.
Even better.
So we're going to start ramping that up. I don't know if we're going to still be at the Craft Lounge this year because of room. We've got a lot of breweries that have wanted to come from back east, and there's not a lot of room there. So we'll see. Jimmy's trying to figure some stuff out up there, so we'll see what we come up with. If not, we might find an alternative location, but we're still going to do that and stuff for a good cause. But we'll have a lot of fun at that too. So hopefully, you guys can be there for that one.
Absolutely, yeah.
Beautiful. Yeah. We need some creative creature.
That's right.
The world needs creative creature.
We need you guys too, man. It's a symbiotic relationship, you know. Absolutely. So again, we really appreciate you guys coming down and. Having us on.
Yeah, no, thank you for having us. Like I said, I've always wanted to be here in person. I've drank a lot of your beers already, and I'm like, I feel like I have to be there. And it's like, I come to San Diego all the time, but just for whatever reason, can't make it out to El Cajon. But I always bug my brother over there to come in here and pick stuff up for me sometimes. And
he's the man.
He's right down the street, so it's easy for him. So, but yeah, I definitely appreciate you having us, and just keep banging it, dude. Like, Michael, you're doing a great job brewing.
Thank you.
Every beer we had tonight, I didn't have a bad beer. Did you?
Hell no.
Did you have a bad beer?
Hell no.
Tell me the truth.
Yeah. All.
that was crazy. So, this is a good spot to end our show. Something we have a tradition here on the Beard Adam Brew Podcast. When we end our show, we bring Grandma on. Grandma always closes the show for us.
Yeah, I see her out there.
She's been hiding outside.
Where you at, Grandma?
Grandma's going to join us. So,
hey, I'm in the cold. It's a little cold out in San Diego tonight.
She's a tough chick. She's a tough chick. You're gonna find out how tough
she
is.
They were bred different. I'm not going to lie. The generation was bred different.
Absolutely. Yeah. So everybody check out Creative Creature, El Cajon, California, soon to be San Marcos, California as well. So two locations here in San Diego County, one in North, one in South East County. Come check them out. Tell them the Beard Adam Brew Podcast sent you. And with that being said, Grandma, take us home.
They also practice by drinking the urine of a ram.
The what?
They drink ram's piss.
Because of the pH balance?
No, because if you can drink ram's piss, fuck, you can drink almost anything.
She said fuck.
What is the malted liquor? What gets you drunk or quicker? What comes in bottles or in cans?
Beer.
Can't get enough of it.
Beer.
How we really love it.
Beer.
Makes me think I'm a man.
Beer.
I could kiss and hug it.
Beer.
But I'd rather chug it.
Beer.
Got my belly out to here.
Beer.
I could not refuse it.
Beer.
I could really use a beer.
Beer. Beer.
Beer.
Beer.
Beer. Beer. Beer. Beer. Beer. Beer. Beer.
I can't remember how much I have had. I drank a 12-pack with my dad.